How is the faithful city? Is the title of our message taken from Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 21 to 31. We have three thoughts for our meditation. Infiltrated and wrecked, verse 21 to 23. The Lord shall restore, verse 24 to 27. And evil purged, verse 28 to 31. The city of God, Jerusalem, its capital, has been infiltrated with evil. The unfaithful has taken over, and the city cringe in the oppression. The prophet Isaiah asks, how is the faithful city? After verse 18 to 20, when he extended the invitation, there seemed to be a pause. He received not promise nor invitations. Here, the urgings of the prophet has come to deaf ears. What did the prophet say to the people? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If ye be willing and obedient, if ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The destruction will come now to the infiltrators who pervert judgment and justice, to those who put to silence the laws of God. The Lord himself will arise and vindicate. The Lord wants us to see and understand that he is a merciful God. Sins can be dealt with. The worst of sins in the life of a man can be purged. Here the prophet told us, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There is a way out of our sin conundrum. If we would renounce the world, if we would say no to our unequal yoke with the things of the world. And it is sad, isn't it? It is always the mentality of those who are what we said, not fully converted. That their Christianity comes to us in such a way that it is earthly. It is earthly. The motives are earthly. The ends are earthly. But they are in church. And it's sad. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. How sad it is when evil men arise, the righteous will hide themselves. How else could we do? Infiltrated and wrecked was the first thought that we want to consider here. How is the faithful city become a harlot? Israel was supposed to be a city that God has built, God has chosen in order to be a light, a city that would reflect the light of the truth. But how has it been infiltrated? It has now become a city of harlot, murderous. Edison, David Edison observed well, he says here, contrasting the chaste bride of the Lord with her present pollution, the ancient home of justice with the present haunt of cruelty and violence. How has she become a harlot, faithless to her covenant with the Lord? Jerusalem was to be a city that reflects the righteousness of God, the things of God, the faithful city, the body politic, where the church, in which Jerusalem was the center and the metropolis, full of justice, where righteousness is. But when we decided to forsake the laws of God, when we decided to take down the laws of God, that's where all hell will break loose. Now murderers, as the worst class of violent wrongdoers, how could she possibly become? How strange is should she be? The change which had been represented under the figure of adultery is given here so well. Verse 22, thy silver is become dross, and thy wine mixed with water. The silver, addressing this unfaithful city, this unfaithful church, has become dross. The metal tarnished. The wine weakened. The word there means cut, mutilated with water. The strength impaired. When we allow sin to come to our hearts, when we allow sin to fester in our lives, when we choose to do all these things in our hearts, that's where trouble comes, isn't it? And unless sin has been repented of, unless men realize their sins and are willing to come clean, there is much sorrow that will come after. For we have a God in heaven who sees. And so here our text tells us, verse 23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. The special application here to the magistrates and the judges, those who are bound officially to suppress disorder and protest the helpless, were now greedy of gain, rebellious against God, tyrannical towards men. Thy rulers are rebels and fellow thieves. They are partakers of the sin of thieves, everyone loving a bribe. The fatherless, as being unable to reward them, they judge not. And the causes of the widow cometh not unto them or before them. They will not hear. They will not act as judges for their benefit. They are not simply unjust judges, but they are not judges at all. And they are not acting because they cannot profit by it. A sad situation here when you have evil men coming in, forcing their way in and trying to take charge. And when they succeed, this is what it is. This is what it will become. And that has become a sad thing for Israel. And therefore, when this happens, there's much sorrow, there's much tears, because justice is perverted. Things are not moved as it should be. The laws of God trampled upon. It's a sad thing, isn't it, when we see disorder around us. The disorder in a nation. begins with a disorder in the family. When there's a disorder within it, then comes the disorder in a multitude of families. And when this comes out into the larger society, then there is great chaos that comes. And here, is there no way out? Is there no way out? Sometimes we feel very helpless, isn't it? Helpless to see the things that goes on around, because it seemed that we do not have the influence needed that justice be meted. But we have a God who sits enthroned in heaven, who sees all things and will deal with all things well. And so we can rest in Him. We can rest in Him. For verse 24 and 27 tells us that the Lord shall restore. The Lord shall restore. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin. Here you see the grievances coming up to the Lord. And the Lord sees what is going on. And the Lord says that I will ease me of my adversaries. Wicked men, oppressed with wicked methods, because they have learned them where they learned them, of course, from the evil one. And if they choose to continue, well, I say that the Lord will deal with it. And here, the corruption is stark, because it is affecting the peace, or it will affect the peace in the city. And is there no way out for the people of God? The remnant that is there in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah, as what we saw in verse 10 of verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 1, we see that there is a way out. We have a God still enthroned in heaven and knows what is going on. They are a burden to the God of heaven. In other words, they trample the laws of God. You see, the laws of God are universal laws. It holds true through all ages. And no senate, no parliament, no people in any age who go against it will prosper. And here you see that message coming through very clearly. God will find out a time and a way to ease himself of this burden by avenging himself on those that thus bear hard upon his patience. The Lord is very patient. The Lord is very patient. He is giving time. But the time will come when the Lord will act. When the earth groans, the world is ripe for the return of Christ. The enemy is, well, you know, in gambling we say, show hand. In other words, they have exposed themselves. They are not afraid anymore. They have come out in the open. And they openly oppress And they tell you, what can you do? What can you do about it? Can you do anything to us? You can't. But we have a God in heaven who sees. And let us realize that the evil that is pressing so hard now upon us will not be forever. When Christ hung on the cross, the enemies did all they could to thwart the effort. But albeit their most strenuous effort was thwarted. Right? After Christ died, they said, oh, he's going to be resurrected. Let's seal the tomb. Let's make sure that we have guards to guard it 24/7 so that the disciples won't say that he came and steal the body. So they bribe the guards. Don't say anything. Make sure. Well, this is the rumor that comes even today, isn't it? Amongst the Jews. Why should we believe that Jesus is the Christ? He's just a prophet. But the Lord wants us to see the best effort of the enemy will fail. They can oppress. They can push very hard. The people of God can feel the pressure, the palpitation, the pressing upon our hearts. It's as if we cannot breathe. Romans 8, verse 21 to 22, as Matthew Henry well observed for us, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. He will be eased of his adversaries by taking vengeance on his enemies. He will spill them out of his mouth, so be erased of them. And this is said to the lukewarm church of Laodicea in Revelation 3 verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spill thee out of my mouth. You come here, you listen, you go out, this year in and this year out. Well, what hope is there anymore? The day of vengeance will come. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. God will vindicate. And for the people of God, what must we do? Well, Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Why should we rest? How should we rest? How can we rest? Well, we continue to rest by bringing our petitions to the Lord in heaven, who knows what we are going through, and who understands what is it. So the Lord says to his people who felt the pressure, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. The prophet Isaiah was tasked to give the consolation that the Lord will restore. The Lord will restore. He is still on the throne. The lukewarm will be spilled out. Do we want to be lukewarm in our faith, neither hot nor cold, one step in the world, one step we think in the church, and we feel comfortable being earthly? Let us not be. Let us not think that heaven is made for earthly men. Heaven is made for heavenly men. If God's professing people conform not to his image, they will feel the weight of his hand as the mighty one of Israel, his power, who will engage them, who will be armed against them. And so Isaiah, he began with those words, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." That's the condition of the church today. It's sad, isn't it? But throngs would be there, and out of it, no sanctification. Not a true gospel. A health and wealth gospel. It tinkers our carnal senses, and we call it church. And the church is like the world, no different. How sad it is. The church has compromised. The church has been compromised, infiltrated, silenced, gagged. Cowed to silence. But the laws of God remain standing forever. It continues to hold fast. When we are for it, it is for us. When we are against it, it is against us. Are we for it or against it? We have to make a stand. And I say to the people of God, in the church at large, let us make a stand. Let us be true to our confession. Let us be a faithful city where righteousness reigns, where righteousness will continue to reign. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evil doers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. So the prophet tells us, though infiltrated and wrecked, though the enemy comes and threatens, though the enemy seems to be so strong, but we have a God who can overcome. Who is stronger, physically speaking? We seem to be so weak. We seem to be so helpless, isn't it? Well, this is what the Lord has called us to. As sheep among wolves. But he says also to us,
that we shall be harmless as doves, but be wise as a serpent. The word wise is the word cunning. In other words, the disciples are asked to exercise true wisdom, to distill the Word of God, to understand it and to apply it, and we'll be protected. Verse 28, our third thought from verse 28 to 31. Evil purged, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. They that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oak which ye have desired. Ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as the oak whose leaf fadeth. You know, the oak tree is supposed to be a most sturdy tree. It takes, it lasts for many hundreds of years. Once it grows, its root, its stem, it's supposed to be able to be the hardest of wood, stand the best of trees, and yet here it says, the oak whose leaf fadeth. And as a garden that has no water, if a garden that has no water, then the garden will soon die, isn't it? Right? You go to a garden, inadvertently you will see the gardener, right? Morning, afternoon, making sure that the hose is turned on to water the garden. That the soil is wet enough so that the plants, the flowers are properly watered, nourished, strengthened. So the Lord will act. How will the Lord act? By cutting off those that hate to be reformed, that they may not remain as snares and scandals to the faithful city. When we refuse to repent of our sins, when we think that we can go on, carry on as it is, no, it is an utter ruin here that is threatened. They shall be destroyed and consumed, Matthew Henry says, and not chastened and corrected only. A universal ruin. The transgressors, the sinners. But the Lord says to us, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There is a way out of our sin problem if we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to receive Him and humble ourselves, to repent of our wicked ways, there is a way out. And the Lord is seeking for His people to wait upon Him, to wait upon Him. The Lord will act. Evil will be purged. And when this comes, all the so-called power and ammunition of the power that be would self-destruct. God will destroy them. Why? Because they are idols, dumb idols. That's the thing of this world.
we think that we can pursue and go after them, and they will make us happy. They will cause us to be secure. Well, let us think again. We shall be disappointed. Their idols shall not be able to help them. The oak which they have desired, the gardens which they have chosen, the images that they worshipped, they will not be there for them in the day of destruction. Those who make their confidence in themselves, in the things of this world, will be disappointed. And they shall not be able to help themselves. Verse 31 of our text says, "And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. They shall both burn together, and none shall quench them." Here, even the strong man shall be as tow, not only soon broken and pulled to pieces, but easily catching fire. And he hopes to be secure by it. But when the fire, the spark, is cast, there comes the burning. And there will be no recourse. It's a sad thing. And we see the transition during the time of two kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. The reign of Hezekiah and the reign of Ahaz. In the reign of Ahaz, there was much corruption. No repentance. And God dealt severely. Jezebel was killed. The Lord prophesied that you can't even find the body. The dogs would lick the blood. But for Hezekiah, how he pleaded when the Assyrians came to surround the city. And the prophet Isaiah went to him and said to him that the Lord will vindicate. And what did the Lord do? The Lord sent his angel. One night, 180,000 of the surrounding army of the Assyrians were annihilated. And the Assyrian general went back. The Assyrian king went back. And he was killed by his own sons. God's judgment. Hezekiah didn't go anywhere. He didn't seek any alliance. He sought the Lord. He sought to remain faithful, that the city would remain faithful to the Lord. And the Lord vindicated. Infiltrated and wrecked. Well, let us not be discouraged. For we have a God who is still on the throne. The Lord shall restore. Evil shall be purged. Let us wait on the Lord. Let us learn to fret not, but to patiently wait for Him. Because of the men who bring wicked devices to pass, we let the Lord deal with the evil. May God come and we rest in Him for His mercy. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen Thy people. Comfort the hearts of Thy people. And grant to us
restfulness as we worship Thee, as we look for a city in which the builder and maker is God. Strengthen Thy people in our pilgrim journey. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.